Now, community first responder volunteers are trained to attend emergency calls received by the ambulance service and provide care until the ambulance arrives. Following a 999 call, one of a group of trained volunteers is dispatched to the patient by the ambulance service to provide basic life support in the vital minutes before the ambulance can arrive. The idea is that due to their locality, the first responders can get to the patient more quickly than the paramedic car or ambulance, and that is always sent to make time-critical interventions to maximise the patient's chances of survival. Well, here today to talk about the First Responders Initiative in our area is Roy Tysack. Welcome, Roy, and thanks for coming in today.
Hi, Bob. Nice to be here.
Yeah, beautiful day.
Yes,
thanks for coming out. So, first responders, Roy, have I described what you do fairly accurately?
That's a pretty good job you've done there, actually.
Thank you very much.
that's absolutely correct. The calls that we receive are all life-threatening calls. They can include any unconscious patient, strokes, breathing difficulties, epileptic fits, diabetic comas, but most importantly, any form of chest pain, yep, heart attack or cardiac arrest.
Yes.
Being on the scene of a cardiac arrest is really the primary function that we carry out, and we do, of course, have state-of-the-art defibrillators, and we're all trained in giving what we hope is top-quality CPR.
Right, excellent. So how does it actually work in practice? Obviously, a 999 call comes in,
yep,
to the call centre, wherever that is.
And that's right.
What happens from then on?
Well, if anybody makes a 999 call, it goes in as usual, as you say. What the ambulance control room will then do is decide, first of all, if there is a community first responder system set up in the area that the calls come from. They will also decide if it fits the criteria. We don't deal, for example, with trauma calls, so we wouldn't normally get called to a road traffic accident, for example, or somebody who's fallen off a ladder, unless that person is unconscious. But if it fits the criteria, and if there is somebody working in the area, they will send that call out to whichever first responder is on duty. He carries a first responder telephone. He responds to the call, and because of the fact that he's based in the local villages, hopefully we can get there a lot quicker than an ambulance car would.
Okay. Yes. Well, presumably, then you have to have some system of people being on call at certain times, do you, for this?
That's right. We work on a rotor system, and we have all the kit that's passed on from one responder to the next.
Right.
And we have the ambulance phone, which is linked directly to the control centre. So whoever's on duty, it doesn't matter who's on duty, as soon as the ambulance control press that button, whoever's got that phone will respond.
Okay. And first responders are all volunteers, I believe, yeah?
They are indeed, yes. We don't get any pay for anything, and, right, and we should stress that, in case anybody thinks that they want to join us and get paid for it, they won't.
Okay.
We have to use our own cars. We don't get any petrol allowance or wear
really?
And tear.
Okay.
It's all entirely down to the volunteers.
All right. So who can be a first responder?
Well, basically anybody between age 18 and 70, male or female. All we ask is that they're prepared to submit to Criminal Record Bureau check, and that they're of reasonable fitness.
Yep.
Obviously, don't do it if you've got a bad back and you can't carry the equipment or anything like that. And basically, anybody who has a little bit of time on their hands and has access to a vehicle, they can work from home or their workplace, and they should just be ready to drop everything at a moment's notice when that phone goes and go out in the community to respond.
Okay. Does it take up a lot of volunteers' time?
No, it doesn't have to. It varies. We have some people that do more than others.
Right.
Some, for example, may just cover a few hours one evening a week.
Okay.
Where we have others that may do a 24 or even a 48-hour stint, perhaps during the week or over a weekend period.
Yeah.
So it really is up to the individual. And if something happens, if your friends drop in, you want to have a drink, you turn off the phone.
Okay.
You're not committed.
Okay.
You don't say, I'm on duty for 12 hours. If something happens, you need to go shopping, turn the phone off. It's as simple as that.
Right, okay. And the central control can detect that, I guess.
Absolutely,
yeah.
Yes. If they push the button and it doesn't ring, well, then that's fine.
Right, okay.
The ambulance is still on the way. That's what we must stress.
Right. So you are looking for volunteers, I believe. What sort of qualities are you looking for in your volunteers?
Well, they must be trustworthy.
Yep.
They should be of a caring nature. As I say, they should be reasonably physically fit,
yep,
and they should be between 18 and 70.
Okay.
If they've got all those attributes and they've got a little bit of time to spare and they wish to help the people of their community, then we're very, very pleased to hear from them.
Right. And you don't have to be a fully qualified doctor or medical technician, because training is given, I believe. Is that
absolutely
right?
Not.
So what does the training consist of?
Well, initially you'll go to the ambulance training school at Broomfield, where you'll have a full weekend's training in the basics. This is how to use a defibrillator, how to give CPR, how to deal with strokes, this sort of thing. That's a full two-day course.
Right.
But every month we have meetings and the training is updated. We practice our skills, we practice our CPR, we practice that over and over and over again.
Right, sure.
So we must be really, really, you know, very good at that.
Yeah.
We practice use of the equipment, and also we have ongoing training.
Right.
For example, we are now going to have treatment or training to treat children.
Okay.
We're going to do more paediatric treatment, which is what I was trying to say.
Yes.
I've got the dog's teeth in today, you must excuse me.
You're doing fine.
So that's something. And anything new that comes out, of course, this is updated and we do practice it at our monthly meeting. So right. It's an ongoing thing.
Okay. Well, we're meeting you today. I also see first responders get a wonderful uniform as well.
Yes, indeed. It's not compulsory.
Right.
You must at least wear the ID badge.
Okay.
And you will be given a fluorescent coat, which we should wear whenever we're out on the streets at night. But the option is there to wear the full uniform. I personally like it, coming from a police and before that a military background.
Right.
I think if you're going to wear a uniform, you wear all of it.
Yes.
But it's not necessary. If you're working in the garden and you've got your jeans on, as long as you put on that yellow coat and your clothes are clean,
yes,
I'm not suggesting that you go out covered in mud.
No.
But you wear whatever you've got at the time.
The important thing, I guess, is to get to the scene quickly, isn't it?
That's
really?
It. That's the important thing, is to get there.
All right. Let's talk about funding. How are first responders funded?
Well, we're self-funding, basically.
Right.
We do rely very, very strongly on the community.
Okay.
And we've been very, very lucky. For example, recently the Navestock Village Society donated some funds to purchase magnetic signage that we put on our vehicles.
Okay.
Brentwood Council recently donated £800.
Excellent.
And Brentwood and Shenfield Freemasons have recently funded a defibrillator, which we've actually got now fixed outside Boots in the High Street.
Oh, yes, and, I read about that, yes.
There's another one on the way that's going to be put outside Shenfield Railway Station.
Superb.
And these will be on hand for anybody who phones an ambulance. The ambulance control will say, do you know how to use a defibrillator?
Right.
If the answer is yes, they will give them the code to unlock the box and they can use it.
Excellent.
Because they really are very simple things to operate.
Sure. Yeah. Okay. Well, it sounds like your needs are twofold at the moment then, that you need volunteers and you need funding. Yeah.
Absolutely.
So how can people get involved and help?
Okay. We've got a website which is very simple. It's ez32.org. On that, you'll find all of our contact details and a sort of a summary of what a first responder does.
Okay.
The most important thing at the obviously we need money, of course, you always need money, but the most important thing, more volunteers. Please come and talk to us. Please have a look on the website and see if you can help.
All right, sounds great.
How
long have you been going?
Well, we've been going now for 10 years in April.
Right, okay. And have you got any figures on how many people you've helped over that time?
Oh, it's difficult to say how many we've helped. I mean, it runs into the thousands
right.
as far as actually helping is concerned.
Okay.
You never know whether you've saved a life or not, of course, because the ambulance crews take over and
sure.
take them away.
Right.
But one figure I can give you, and that is that in our 10 years, and bearing in mind we only have about... sort of, it varies, but 10 to a dozen members any one time.
Right.
Over the last 10 years, we know that we have had 20 at least successful resuscitations.
Wow.
That's people that have had full cardiac arrest and are effectively dead when we get to them, and we've brought 20 back.
So what a fantastic achievement.
I think that should be enough to make anybody want to join and help
absolutely.
Us.
Yeah, well, I think it's wonderful. It's wonderful what you're doing there. Well done. Excellent.
Good. Thank you.
All right, come on, you volunteers. Have a look at our website later on and come and roll up for first responders. Thank you very much. Sounds like a brilliant, excellent community project, and I wish you continued success with it.